The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are listening to We the People Radio. This is the second half of our program with Joe Gazzardi. He is the National Media Director for Californians for Population Stabilization, CAPS. Just in case you think it's only about California, it's not, because he's speaking out on the importance of limiting U.S. immigration through sensible federal policy. And just in case you missed the first hour, yes, we did make fun of the word sensible.
Yes. And we're not just talking about building a wall. In fact, I don't think we even mentioned building a wall.
Oh, now you've done it.
Yeah.
Now you've taken us there.
Now we've gone there.
Joe's got 28 years of experience, and he's been interviewed on all sorts of TV and radio. And he even briefly slipped into the Huffington Post and accidentally educated some naysayers. That's truly a claim to fame. We should have that at the beginning of the bio. Oh, my goodness. So first half of the show, you can find it at wethepeopleradio.us. We air from noon to 2 on Pacific time. Pacific time here on KCNR 1460 AM. We air from 2 to 3 Mondays on WNJC 1360 out of Philadelphia and Jersey Shore. So
that would be East Coast time.
That'd be East Coast time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's tough because I even got tripped up with Joe. He said, "Are you on Eastern time?" I'm like, "No, we're on Pacific time."
Which one?
We could have.
Daylight savings time or the regular time?
I could have caused us to fumble the ball again.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, glad we're not in Arizona.
It's fantastic to be with you guys and with your listeners and talking about these important issues. If you want to just continue where we were before the break on how the
absolutely
DHS fessed up to the misrepresentation of the deportation figures, Jay Johnson, the Homeland Security Secretary, admitted that the administration lumps together returns from the border with removals from the interior. So what were, of course, they're both important. You want to return, you want to apprehend those guys at the border and return them. The president has since advised Border Patrol agents that he wants to reinstate catch and release, so they're going to be released into the United States rather than being returned. But you also want those removals because that sends an important message to illegal immigrants who have entered into the general population and who are maybe employed that, hey, you know, we're aware, we're watching, and we are determined to secure the interior. And another interesting story came out in connection with Jay Johnson's confession, if you will. And the Los Angeles Times interviewed the former acting director of ICE. His name is John Sandwig, S-A-N-D-W-E-G. And he told the reporter that, in his professional opinion, illegal immigrants who get into the interior and basically mind their own business, you know, they're not criminals, they're not visible in any other way, just go about their daily affairs. Those people have what Sandwig called a 0% chance of being deported. Zero.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is from the ICE guy, okay? I mean, I think he had left his job by the time he made that statement, but you know, zero. So Obama's talking about removals and returns and so on and so forth, but in the ICE director's point of view, the typical, if you will, illegal immigrant in the interior has a 0% chance of being deported.
Well, I mean,
if there were a lot of people being deported, it would be headline news every single day.
Yeah, true.
Oh, sure. But by their own admission, if they're saying that the majority of these folks are coming across the border, wouldn't that be ammo to reinforce our border to stop that flow? I mean, they don't think that way, or what?
I mean, of course it would. Look at the terrible influx of Central American so-called unaccompanied minors who actually were adults. Many of them were teenagers or adults, and very few of them were truly unaccompanied minors. But just look at that. And a story, I think, the last couple of days or so, said that there's been something like a 1,200% increase in unaccompanied minors since 2010.
Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean...
So word isn't spreading or anything.
Exactly. I mean, everybody knows. I have relatives that live, I have sisters, actually, who live in Guatemala. And I'm in touch with them. And I'm always asking them, well, you know, what's going on down there in Guatemala? Is it really true that there's all of this violence and gang activity that's scaring people to death and forcing them to flee to the United States? And they say, well, what's going on is that if you're in a gang, if you're in the drug trade, then there is considerable amount of violence. But if you're like my sisters, going to the store, picking up the kids at school, that sort of thing, there's no violence whatsoever. So
it's no different than if you were in this country. I mean, if you
if you're
you know, in that gang community, you're going to be a victim of a gang crime.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And again, the huge role that hearsay plays in these cases. Somebody walks across the border, says, I'm a victim of gang violence, or I have credible fear of gang violence, is totally, totally hearsay.
Sure.
You cannot base an asylum policy or a refugee policy on hearsay.
That's a really good point.
How difficult, you know, we talk about the visa process. How difficult is it for the average Mexican citizen to walk to our border crossings and say, I want a visa? I mean, is that a long, drawn-out process, or can they pretty much do it in a few hours and come on in?
Well, I think that, first of all, there's hundreds of Mexicans that come across the border every day for supposedly short-term purposes, take their kids to school in one of the border towns in Texas or Arizona, or go on shopping trips or things like that. But to apply for, you mean to apply for an actual an official non-immigrant visa?
Well, let's say a work visa. You want to come in, because I think a lot of them, that's what they apply for, is I want to come in and go to work. And it's good for X amount of time, and then they have to go back.
Right. So like an agricultural visa?
Yes.
I think that's probably something that's accessible over a relatively short period of time, because there are a lot of those ag visas that are given out. There's a tremendous lobbying in Congress from the agriculture industry and the tourism industry and other industries that benefit from the cheaper labor that foreign-born workers provide. So I think there's incentive to get those processed promptly.
Okay. Now, what about if you... let's say you live in Mexico, you're a Mexican citizen, you have relatives in the United States, you want to come visit. Are those pretty easy to get?
I think those are less easy to get, because the standard when reviewing a visa application is, well, what is the likelihood of this individual returning?
Right.
So you a guy wants a 90-day visa, say, to see his sister. So the consular officer who is analyzing that visa tries to determine whether or not there's a likelihood that at the end of those 90 days, the individual will return. So if you have family ties, it's less likely that you will return.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the further away you get from the United States and make that application, the less likely it is to be approved. So if you're, for example, in the Philippines and you want to come visit your uncle, that visa is probably less likely to be approved than a person who's making that petition from Mexico.
Same, too, with folks that have jobs that are just here on vacation because they have a real job back at home. I'm sure
right.
that weighs in
but,
quite
but
a bit.
In general, getting a visa to come to the United States is certainly much easier than it should be. You know, you get into these areas where you have a lot of lobbying for student visas, tourist
yeah.
visas, H-1B visas, H-2 visas.
There are a ton of kinds. How about this?
Yeah, let's take a break, and when we come back, let's talk about
school us on some of these.
Yeah, on some of these visas, because I know there's lots of different kinds, and they overstay all of them.
I know. Yeah, we need to find out what they're doing when they come here at the beginning.
Wouldn't we all like to know?
Yes.
Oh, drats.
All right, we'll be back.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. We're speaking with Joe Gazzardi from CAPS, Californians Against Population Stabilization. Sorry, I fumbled the ball there. They're for it.
They're not against it. Yeah.
A is
right,
always
I'll
against.
School or on the break. So.
Oh, feels good out to give me the rubber noodle.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
By the county line, the cops are nipping on our heels. Pulled off the road and kicked it in four wheels. Shut off the lights and tore through a cornfield. What was I thinking? Out the other side, she was hollering faster. Took the dirt road, had the radio blasting. Hit the honky-tonk for a little close dancing. What was I thinking? Oh, I knew there'd be hell to pay. But that crossed my mind a little too late.
Is this the escape from Jay Johnson?
Yeah, rip it across.
You know, I used to like that song. Now it's all ruined.
So, Joe, we were talking about visas.
Yeah, but I got to first fix it.
Oh.
They're Californians for Population Stabilization. I had the CAPS thing in my head, and the A is always against. And, anyway.
Now you got it.
All right, so they're for Population Stabilization.
So when you
against.
Come to the American border... you apply for a visa.
No, you do it before you go to the border.
Oh, before you go to the border.
Yeah,
you don't just show up with a little handbag.
Bill's never been to the border, apparently.
Yeah. Well,
right. I mean, if you are ever in a conversation with somebody who keeps on referring to illegal immigrants as undocumented or anything like that, what I always say is, look, a legal immigrant comes to the United States with a valid visa and enters through an authorized, recognized port of entry. So that is the standard. But
okay.
Yes, visas, huge, huge, huge problem. We've been talking lately a lot about the student visa, the F visa, and that is something that has, like so many of these other visas, just escalated totally out of control. There are now nearly 1 million foreign-born students in United States universities and colleges. And what I like to point out for advocates for greater diversity in the U.S. college system is that, hey, these guys take a seat from an American student. No two ways about it. There's a fixed number of freshman seats every year. We're not building a whole bunch of brand new colleges. So you've got a fixed number of freshman seats. You've got extremely qualified American kids graduating from high school who are completely capable of matriculating at these universities. But the favoritism has been going, in many cases, to these overseas students for two reasons. First of all, they pay full tuition. So if you are, for example, an in-state student at Cal Berkeley, you're paying $14,000 or $15,000. If you're out of state, whether that's from China or from Minnesota, you're going to pay $35,000 or $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
So the universities opt for the international students because they're all hung up on this diversity thing, and they feel that they can advertise their universities as more diverse if they have a large population born outside of the United States. But a million people, you know, a million students, 300,000 of them from China. So, again, a sensible approach might say, well, you know, maybe it's not in our best interests to be educating Chinese youth at MIT or Caltech or other places.
And excluding our own students.
Right, and exactly, and at the same time excluding our own students.
Well, just the transfer of technology. I mean, shoot, we have a jet flight center here in our town that trains exclusively Chinese students, and then they go back home and fly jets. Is that a smart move? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know about it. Is that part of a university or
no? It's a private thing with the flight school and the Chinese government.
Wow, that sounds scary. I mean,
you should
so
go.
How do those?
Yeah,
I've got to look into this. How do those guys get over here?
Well, they must have some kind of a school visa, but no, they have little jet uniforms, and yeah, there's a bunch.
Yeah,
they may
They may well come in on some kind of a F student visa. We know that a lot of those visas go to things like beauty schools and schools of I don't know what, you know, bogus schools basically. So, but that's interesting. That's right there in Redding?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, anyway, that's a big scam. And then there's another visa. It's called the J visa. You may remember a couple of years ago. The J visa is the so-called cultural exchange visa. And a couple of years ago out at the Hershey plant here in Pennsylvania, a bunch of these kids, you know, because basically they're young adults that come over from other countries, from overseas countries, to work in the United States on what's allegedly a cultural exchange program. So they pay big money to intermediaries to help place them in these places like Disney and Hershey and other sort of glamorous, if you will, corporations. Well, a couple of years ago, they went on strike because it turns out that the cultural exchange program was loading 50-pound crates of chocolate in the warehouse and working 75 hours a week. And after they had their salaries docked for room and board, making like $3.50 an hour.
Oh, wow. The old company store.
A little sweatshop going
on
there.
Yeah, the company store. So, again, the listeners can Google that. Hershey is the biggest example of it, but there have been many others in smaller resorts and just different kinds of things where the kids are sold a bill of goods. Hey, it's really going to be great for you. You're going to go over to America. You're going to learn about American ways. You'll be able to transfer what you've learned into your resume and get a better job. And what it has turned out to be is this abusive practice promising one thing but really delivering something that is completely a violation.
Oh,
of
sure.
The J.
I mean,
Hillary Clinton promised to investigate that because the Hershey scandal broke while she was still Secretary of State, I think, and the Secretary of State offices oversee all of these visas.
Yeah, that's kind of a rotten deal because I mean they could stay home and work in a sweatshop, come all the way over here and work in a sweatshop. That's
what are you saying?
That's not good. Yeah. Well, although I have been to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and it is a sweet smelling town.
It is.
The whole town smells like chocolate.
It does.
Well, it's another example, though, of what we've been talking about throughout this hour and a half, which is that, okay, look, you know, we know this is going on. We know this is really bad. We know that there's all kinds of abuses in the J and the F and the H-1B visas. But why doesn't Why doesn't anything ever happen? And, of course, that's going to be a pivotal issue in the election coming up.
Well, sure. You look at companies like Google and Facebook and companies like that. There's no benefit for them to really push the button on reform. I mean, they're skinning a fat hog and that's where the money is.
You know, Mark Zuckerberg has been almost omnipresent in Congress since he became such a high visibility guy.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody emailed Facebook and said, can you point to any one single industry in Silicon Valley, any one single tech company that has a shortage, an identifiable shortage of engineers? Because, you know, for the last couple of years, they've all been laying off people like crazy, Microsoft and Cisco and the rest of them.
Sure.
And that email never got a response. So, you know.
Because they're supposed to bring these folks over if they can't fill them with people here.
Right, on hard-to-fill jobs. That's right. What the system was set up for, is if they're unable to find American workers.
Yeah.
But what it's turned into is, well, let's fire the American workers and hire
them.
They're
costing too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. It's a scam. And, yeah, somebody needs to do something about it.
The visa is, by definition, a temporary visa. It's a temporary non-immigrant visa. So you come, you do your thing, and you go home. But now it's become sort of a rolling program where it's not temporary. By the time these guys get their 6 years in, the visa is broken up into two parts. The first segment is 3 years, and then it's renewable for another three. Well, by the time you've been here 6 years, you can get yourself a good immigration lawyer, and you're probably not going to be going home.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could just overstay it and save yourself the cost.
And nobody's going to chase you around, so don't worry about it.
Lawyer.
Hey, exactly. When we come back, let's talk about this U.S. versus Texas article that you had sent me this morning.
Yeah, big day tomorrow.
I posted that, so maybe you can give folks a little heads up on that.
Yeah, we definitely want to get that in.
Sure.
Because we know we won't hear it on the media.
No,
not
media's
the whole story anyway. So
okay.
You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Bob.
After another great song. Who knew immigration had so much good music?
I know. That's what it's about.
Someone knocking at the door. Somebody ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Do me a favor. Open the door. And let him in. Ooh, yeah. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Do me a favor. Open the door. I let them in. Yeah. Let them in.
Lovers open their arms to the young searching foreigner. To live in the light of the beacon of liberty. Plains and open skies, billboards would advertise. Was it anything like that when you arrived?
No.
Dreamboats carried the future to the heart of America. People were waiting in line for a place by the river.
Wash your clothes.
It was a time when strangers were welcome here.
Yeah, before Mean Joe took over.
Music would play, they tell me the days were sweet.
Now there's a new sheriff in town.
It was a sweeter tune, and there was so much room. Come from everywhere.
Yep, it's always been that. It was that way just until you showed up, right, Joe?
Yeah, blame it all on me.
You're the big fun killer.
As many people do.
I just wanted to make sure we got that in there for the people who were thinking that. So talk to us about Texas.
Yeah, huge, huge, huge day tomorrow. U.S. versus Texas. Stakes are extremely high. The Supreme Court is going to hear the case about whether or not President Obama is on legal grounds with his deferred action for parents of U.S. citizens and legal residents, more commonly referred to as DAPA. And the court has, two lower courts have already ruled against the president, saying that he does not have the authority to issue work permits and other entitlements, Social Security benefits and income tax credits to nearly 5 million illegal immigrants. So what the administration is trying to do is to frame this as a case involving what the president's discretion is. That's the word that they like to use. Does he have the power to, through his discretionary decisions, give for nearly 5 million people amnesty? And Texas and others say, no, he clearly does not have that the power of writing immigration laws is with Congress, not with the executive branch, but with Congress. So the Justice Department is trying to make the case that, hey, you know, the president is within his authority to grant this amnesty, even though when the lower courts sided with Texas, they said, well, maybe he has discretion over who he deports and who he doesn't deport, but he clearly does not have the authority to grant benefits.
Well, so how is that any different than what Reagan did?
The difference is 5 million people, you know. I mean, Reagan's amnesty was for a small handful of people by comparison. So five million people getting work permits and entitlements and at least temporary legal status is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and well, with this, he's also spending, you pointed out in your article, spending taxpayer dollars. I mean, he's literally just wielded his pen and his phone and said, okay, you people are going to pay for this.
Exactly. Exactly right. I mean, this is all unprecedented in American history. Never at any time has a president moved so far to the left on immigration laws. And, you know, in some ways you've got to say, well, maybe if Americans had a stronger Congress, you know, it wouldn't have come to this. I mean, when I look at the whole Obama record on immigration, I say, well, why wasn't there more congressional objection to DAPA's forerunner, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals? I mean, there was no significant congressional objection to that whatsoever. So,
and what year was that? About,
pardon me?
When was that? What year was that?
2011.
Okay.
2011. So, you know, no objection to that whatsoever, not even token objection. It wasn't like, you know, the House was under John Boehner's direction. So where was the pushback on that? I think if there had been pushback, we never would have gotten to where we are today with DAPA. DAPA is just a stronger version, more all-encompassing version of what the president got away with DACA.
Yeah, just a little bite and a little bite and a little bite. Well, heck, if that works, let's take a big bite this time.
Well, on this one, both the House and the Senate have filed briefs and basically against the president's position.
Yes, they have. And you'll remember also that at the end of last year, or before the midterm elections, I can't remember exactly what the timing was, but Congress was saying, well, we'll get, you know, as soon as the new Congress gets takes office, we'll have control of the House, we'll have control of the Senate, and we'll make a push against the amnesty then. But that never happened, you know. That never happened.
If the president's never
going
to
defund, remember they were going to, were under advocacy groups like CAPS and others said, well, look, why don't you just defund the amnesty now while you're contemplating the budget? And they said, well, it'll be better, you know, once we're in office and we have the power of that we get when we control both chambers. But it never happened.
Yeah, you still can't get the president to sign it. So at some point, you got to tie it to something that he wants.
I would say up until very recently, there has been virtually no vigorous objection to any immigration outrage that the president has put into place, whether you're talking about ordering the Border Patrol agents to maintain catch and release, or whether you're talking about DACA or DAPA or any of those kinds of things. No significant objections from the Republican-controlled Congress, which has been a big contributing factor to the presidential race that we're seeing today.
Yeah. Well, it's worked really well to say that anybody who opposes like your bio says, sensible immigration reform. Anybody who opposes anything that has anything to do with immigration makes them a hater. So it's done a really good job of silencing people.
An increasingly hard argument to sell. I like to ask people, you know, look, tell me in what way this benefits you or your family. In what way does it benefit your personal circumstance to have millions of illegal immigrants coming to the United States and getting work permits, thousands of refugees from terrorist-sponsoring nations coming to the United States, not only getting work permits, but if you go on to the U.S. CIS website, it describes what else they get. They get job training. They get job placement services. We're talking about the refugees now. Job training, job placement services, English language classes. Okay, well, I don't really see how that helps me or my family in any way whatsoever. If anybody can defend that policy to me without using the words "you're a racist" or "you're a xenophobe" or anything like that, I would love to hear it.
What do you say to the folks that claim they're only getting the jobs that we don't want to do?
Yes,
I hear that a lot.
That is a biggie.
Yeah, well, that has been debunked many, many times. The Center for Immigration Studies did a comprehensive study of all of the professions that the Bureau of Labor Statistics lists, and they found that it was only in agriculture where there was a need for foreign labor. All of the other job positions have plenty of available work for them, and not long ago I wrote about an amazing case in Chicago where Eli's Cheesecake, a renowned cheesecake baking company, and went and has hired several refugees to work in their cheesecake factories. Now, you just can't tell me that in Chicago, with all of its problems and with all of its disaffected youth, that you couldn't find American citizens to bake cheesecake. I think that initially the job pays, $10 or $12. And I went onto the website, and according to Eli's website, there are opportunities to move up into management and regional management and, you know, potentially make $65,000 or $75,000 a year. So those jobs,
well, see, there's where you're going. There's where you're going wrong, Joe. You can't.
It's counterproductive and hurtful to keep giving those kinds of jobs away.
Yeah, but you can't. You can't hire people for $10 an hour when there's jobs available that pay $30. They should start at $30. Come on, that's why we're raising the minimum wage in California. Every job has to be a livable wage.
How that plays out?
Yeah.
One of the news channels was interviewing a McDonald's franchise holder, and he said the minute that that takes effect, he will have no choice but to cut staff. And that's...
Yeah, they'll have those little self-order kiosks that they have all over the place.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what the guy said.
Yeah.
He said, that's what it's going to be. You're going to go into those places, and you're going to have an iPad, and you're going to have some robot back there.
Yeah.
Making
Well, it's happened in every other industry. I mean, when the labor gets too much, they invent a way to do it mechanically, yeah.
And you know, that's
there's
a McDonald's,
fewer jobs.
Which I'm going to assume has a relatively high-volume business. But what about the few remaining mom-and-pop stores that
they're doomed.
Barely hanging on.
They're doomed. So, yeah, we want them to pay for everything under the sun, and now everybody's got to be paid like they're a college graduate. We need to take one more quick break. Hey, when we come back, talk to us about Jackie Robinson Day.
Oh, yeah, okay, great, my favorite subject.
Yeah, Jackie Robinson Day was April 15th. And just to close out this segment, the Texas case is heard on Monday, April 18th. So in case you're listening to this at a different time, the word tomorrow might not be of assistance to you. So tomorrow in our world right now is April 18th. All righty, we're going to come right back. We're with Joe Cazardi. We're talking about immigration for the past couple hours. You can find the whole show in archive form on wethepeopleradio.us.
Said, where were you born?
Hey, are you one of those dudes that do horoscopes, man? Hey, I'm a Cancer with a bad moon rising.
Look here, El Fago, watch my lips. Where were you born?
I was born in East L.A., man. I was born in East L.A.
Oh, yeah, you're born in East L.A. Well, let's see your green card, huh?
Green card? I'm from East L.A.
All right, well, then who's president of the United States?
Oh, that's easy, man. That guy used to be on Death Valley days, John Wayne.
All right, let's go. Come on.
Next thing I know, I'm in a foreign land. People talking
so fast. Good old Cheech and Chong.
I think we've hit the entire range. Bob, you get an award today.
Yeah.
You get an award. Best music ever.
Yep, pulled out all the stops.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
All right, so... Joe, immigration's even going to mess up Jackie Robinson Day. It even gets into Major League Baseball.
Tough to go to a baseball game these days. So, Aaron, just really briefly before we get into Jackie Robinson,
yeah.
Bill, I think I may have misunderstood your question about what the difference was between what Obama's doing and Reagan's amnesty. Reagan's amnesty was passed by the House and the Senate and got to his desk in the proper fashion, which is to say, It was congressionally approved legislation. Congress has not had any say in Obama's executive action. So that's a huge difference.
Yeah, that's a big difference. And that's the way it should have been done.
Exactly.
Yeah. Since we actually have three branches
Robinson,
of government.
You know, of your listeners that have been going to baseball games regularly over the years have noticed that all of a sudden about 30 or so percent of the players on the field are from overseas, mostly the Dominican Republic, but also from Asian countries. And on Jackie Robinson Day, Major League Baseball makes a big, big, big deal out of why there aren't more blacks in baseball. A lot of hand-wringing. So that is a very easy question to answer. There aren't more blacks in baseball because the Major League owners and executives aren't pursuing blacks. What they have done instead is open these baseball training camps in the Dominican Republic. 29 of the 30 baseball teams have camps in the Dominican Republic. They identify young prospects. They train them. They give them housing. They supplement their, give them food allowances and so forth. And there are no similar camps in the United States. I mean, it's so easily explained, but outrageously explained. All of the investment into baseball has gone into these camps in the Dominican Republic. If I were in Major League Baseball and I were really serious about wanting to add African Americans to the game, I would have camps in Kansas City, St. Louis, Chicago, L.A., where the black players are, but they don't. And one of the additional lures for the Dominican players especially is the owners say, hey, look, we're gonna train you and do all of these things for you, but we're also going to give you a visa. We've been talking about visas for 2 hours, but a newly created visa, no less, the P for professional, that came into being in the Bush administration. Bush, you may remember, was a part owner of the Texas Rangers baseball team in Arlington, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
He was really chummy with the owners, and the owners came to him and said, George, you know, we can't get enough players up here. So they created a bill. They had a voice vote in Congress. And here we are today. Hmm. Now, just imagine, the listeners, just imagine whatever your profession is, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a pharmacist, an accountant, and one day you pick up the paper and the headline reads, unlimited number of accountants will be getting visas starting next year. Would have a pretty damaging effect on your ability to get a job or keep a job.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
That's what's going on in Major League Baseball. I mean, a lot of people think, well, these are just more talented players and the scouting skills have gotten much better. And without a question of a doubt, they are talented players. That's not at issue. What is at issue is that there are equally talented players graduating every year from Fresno State and UCLA and Stanford, and they're shut out of the process.
Is that primarily because they can hire these players from other countries for less money?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. I mean, you go down to the Dominican Republic, and you offer some kid $25,000. I mean, that's going to be more money.
That's a year's salary.
Ever expected to see in his lifetime.
Sure.
And then you say, oh, yeah, and we'll get you into the United States legally on a P visa.
Yeah, get another way in.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, we have, believe it or not, run out of time.
Oh, too bad. I could talk for so much longer on
that. Hey, we're gonna have you back.
And
this thing
is
really heating up. And I think as we get closer to the elections, maybe we'll have you back.
I hope you do call. It's been a lot of fun to be with you both.
Super fun. So we've been chatting with Joe Cazzardi from CAPS, Californians for Population Stabilization. You can find them at capsweb.org, and everything is on the website for you, wethepeopleradio.us. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks for listening, everybody.